Bibles, turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. And when you get into the book of Romans, there's no way in this world. I was going to read a few verses, but there's no reason to read all those verses because we're not going to get that far. And if I get going that far, then you'll get finished before I do. And that's never good. And so tonight, this morning, Romans chapter number 1, and we'll be reading. Again, it's good to have each of you here with us. I guess I need to correct a mistake I made a while ago. I said Sharon's family. Well, that happens to be my family, too. I've been in it long enough, they're all my family now, and so I don't want to be identified as not part of their family, because there's more of them than there are of me. And so it's good to have each one of you this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his promise in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also called, or the called, of Jesus Christ. We'll lead off reading there. I was going to read on down through verse 16 and 17 through there, but we may have some more messages in Romans chapter 1 in the very near future. So we'll just start this morning. And how many of you have Scofield Bibles? Raise your hand. Now, in this first page of the Scofield Bible, or I'll say down through verse number 14, that's where that is, I have counted up probably 20 messages that could be preached. I'm sure there's more than that. But just in a quick glance and reading, seeing the subject matter, there's a number of great messages that could be given upon these verses. And so this morning, we're not going to try to do all that, but I'm going to try to bring you one message today that I think is what the Lord would have for us. And I've entitled the message that we are saved to serve. And you and I this morning, as a Christian, the only reason God saved us is that we would serve Him. He desired our fellowship. He desired our friendship. And He wants us to be His servants. He didn't save us to make us something great or someone great. He did not save us to make our name come up in lights where the whole world would know us by name. But He saved us in order that we might be a servant of the Lord. So we're really just going to take this morning the first five or six words of verse number 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And how many times we read over that, and when Paul writes in many of his writings, he always talks about his servitude, or he talks about him being a servant of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we read over that and we don't think too much about it. Sometimes we think about a servant does not mean a whole lot. But when we're a servant of Jesus Christ, it's a great honor. It's a great, wonderful thing to be able to be called the servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul, when he writes to the saved here at the city of Rome, he writes to those that have accepted Christ, and he introduces himself in a very humble way, Paul, a servant. And so this morning I want us to think about this thing of serving our Lord Jesus Christ, or it was saved to serve. One of the greatest of all the New Testament Christians, I believe, and I believe you would understand and agree with me, is the Apostle Paul. Because of his writings, because of his fellowship with the Lord, we have most of our New Testament pinned down by the hand of this man called, first of all, Saul, then later known as Paul. We have most of our church doctrine Paul gives to us in his writings. We believe in salvation by grace because Paul instructed us that that's the way we save. We believe in justification by faith is because Paul instructed us that our salvation or our justification, our righteousness with God, comes by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that salvation is not by works, because Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And so much of the foundational truths of our understanding of the Scripture comes from this man that simply identifies himself as the servant of Jesus Christ. A man that had been taken off of the sinful road headed toward hell, and now has his feet planted secure in the road toward heaven. And this was the Saul of Tarsus that we read about. And before his conversion in Acts chapter 9, he was an enemy to the church of the living God. He was a persecutor of the saints. He was a destroyer of the faith. And so Paul was a man that was a hater of righteousness. And as he was on that road to Damascus, as we read that, if we had time this morning, and if we did everything that we had time this morning, we wouldn't even get finished with this particular message. But in Acts chapter 9, he meets the Lord Jesus Christ, and it changed his life. I'll tell you what, if you really meet the Lord Jesus Christ, it will change your life. I don't care about this stuff. Say, well, I got saved 20 years ago, but I've lived like the devil ever since, and now I'm going to change my way. No. When you get saved, God changes your life. He makes you a new creature. Now, not everything changes at once, but he begins that process of living in the grace and growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we are a continual changing person. We are in that continual process of being made like unto him. The Bible tells us in Romans 8 that we are predestined to be conformed to his image. So that means he has predetermined beforehand that all the saved are going to be like him. Now, some people have trouble with that, but I'll tell you what, that is gospel. He has predetermined that one day I'm going to be just like him. And he that started a good work in me and started a good work in you, you know what he'll do? He'll perform it unto the day of total, complete glorification or redemption. And that takes place in heaven. So Paul tells us here, identifies himself as a servant. Paul never thought more highly of himself than he should have. He makes reference to that in many places. He never forgot who he was before his conversion, and he never forgot what God did for him there on the road to Damascus. The Lord became his all in all. Jesus became the love of his life, and the worker of, in his soul made him a worker for the Christ of Calvary. And so this man that God has chosen is in relationship to the Lord, as we classify as a great Christian, and he was. But he was only a servant. He was only one that was willing to give his whole life and to give everything over to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful example it is to when we read about his conversion. Paul opens his epistle here to the Romans with a statement, Paul a servant. In the Old Testament, there's an example given. We don't have time to go into that, but in Deuteronomy chapter number 15 and verses 12 through 17, there is a command given for people that were servants to other folks. Now, it was in that period of time that was a way of life. It's a way some people could live, because their masters would take care of them and their families. And many times those servants would become very closely involved in the works of that particular master or that family. And in the book of Deuteronomy, it tells you that you couldn't have that same servant all the time, because after a period of time, he would pay his due, he'd pay his debt, and you could set him free. He would no longer be a servant. But there were some that would so love their master, they so got involved in the things of that particular family, that when it came time for them to be set free, they said, we don't want to leave, we want to stay. And in Deuteronomy there, it gives you how the process was done. And the scripture tells us that in the seventh year, you had your freedom offered to you. If you did not accept that, then you would have a hole punched in your ear. Now, it's not the same hole that we see today in 2016 in guys' and girls' ears. Not for the same purpose and reason. But they would take this man. He would go up to the doorpost. He'd place his ear in a position, and they'd take what we would call a punch, or it was called an awl, and they would hammer that, and it would put a hole in their ear. And that recognized, that was a statement to everybody around them that I could have gone free, but I chose not to. You know, every one of us as a child of God, we ought to have, spiritually speaking, that hole in our ear that we could do what we want to do. We can live the way we want to live, but thank God we don't want to do that anymore. We don't desire that. We have no hope of that. And so here, this slave could be set free from his slavery. But he loved the one that set him free, so he decides to put his ear on that post, and he becomes what is called now a servant. A servant of his master. And you and I this morning, when Paul used that term servant, that's what he was talking about. That's the word that he uses. A bond servant. A servant that was willing to be a servant and not go free and not live the way he wanted to. Paul was one of God's chief persecutors, but he became one of God's wonderful preachers. And so it's because he says here in this statement, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. When we read the story of the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, his sin was enormous sin. Oh, by the way, his sin's no different than my sin. All of our sins are enormous sins. All of our, we categorize them. We say white lie, black lie, little lie, big lie. God says just lie. We say big sin, little sin. God just says sin. And so when we come to Paul's life and we think, boy, he was a wicked sinner. Guilty. We're all wicked sinners without God and without hope and dying and going to devil's hell, rightfully so. When Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ, he realized the enormous, blasphemous, injurious ways and words that he had given and the things that had done. And he had received the message to go to Damascus to take control of all the Christians and, if need be, to destroy them. All but there's a thing that happened on the way to Damascus. I've heard people say, and I'm sure you have heard people say, the Damascus Road experience. Have you had it? You know what it means? It just simply means, have you been saved? Paul, as he took with orders on his person to go to that city of Damascus and to destroy those people that call themselves followers or believers or what we would call Christians. And so Paul goes and something happens. He meets the Lord. And as I said a while ago, when you meet the Lord, it changes your life. When you meet the Lord, it makes a difference in your direction. It makes a difference in your thought process. It makes a difference in your outward expressions of what you do and your tongue and what you hear. And I'll tell you, if a change hasn't taken place, I wouldn't want to put my eternity on, I hope so. I'd hate to place all eternity on this thing saying, well, I went down the aisle 30, 40 years ago, and I did what the preacher said to. It's not word. It's not what the preacher said, but it's what Jesus says. To believe upon Him and trust Him and know that He is the Son of God, that He is the Savior of everyone that will come unto Him, He will in no wise cast out. And so here we find Paul as he sees himself, and as God sees all of us, his sin was enormous. Oh, but his salvation was exciting. Somebody said, well, I don't have that kind of experience in my life, what Paul did. No, but you have your testimony. You have your life. You have your, when you got saved and what you did and what took place in your life and what's happened to you after that. Everybody has a testimony, and it's all different. Last Sunday evening, my home church had their homecoming. We did not know that until later, right after dinner, so we decided we'd go down there. And I saw a lady that, my goodness, I've eaten as many meals at her house as I eat at my mom and dad's house. And we went back and forth, and that Jeff's mom there in Crittenden County, they go to church with my cousin Jeff Shukrat. And it was his mom. And she come down, and you know what she did? She told me my testimony. Now, I don't know how old she is. She's in her 90s, I'm sure. And she said, I remember your mother telling me that she didn't really think you got saved because that night you went forward, you were sleeping on the pew all during the service. That's exactly what everybody thought I was doing. But you know what I was doing as an 8-year-old kid? I was trying to get away from the convicting power of God. So I thought, well, I'll just go to sleep. Well, I couldn't go to sleep because the preacher's louder than than I could stand. And so I was laying there real still, real quiet, not getting in any trouble, but I was not asleep. And she told me that. I thought, my goodness, what an amazing thing for somebody that I hadn't seen in a number of years and to be able to tell me what I did. Salvation is exciting. Wherever it is, whatever way it happens, whatever position we find ourselves, if God saved you, it is an exciting event. Now, if it's not too exciting, maybe he didn't get the job done, or maybe you didn't let him get it done. If it's not exciting to you, then you need to check up and realize that we just need to be a servant that's been saved by the grace of God. And so Paul's conversion was an exciting event. He said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Immediately he said, who are you? In our modern talking, we'd say, who am I talking to? Because he heard that voice from heaven. And he said, Lord, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord identified himself as Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Made a difference in Paul's life. When I met Jesus Christ, when you met Jesus Christ, it makes a difference. And from that moment on, Paul begins to be a servant of the Lord. He begins his walk, and straightway he begins to preach Jesus Christ in the synagogues. And he preaches him as the Son of God. Notice in verse number 4, it says, talking about Jesus, and declared to be the Son of God. Jesus was declared to be God in the flesh. Here we find that Paul gives us that he says, I've been separated unto the gospel. He says, and that gospel was promised by the prophets as they preached concerning Jesus Christ the Lord. Those prophets had no idea who they were preaching about. They were preaching about Messiah. And Paul says, that's who we preach about, Jesus Christ the Lord. And so we find that he is the Son of God declared to be that. And so Paul began his work and his ministry, and he fought a good fight, come down to the end of his life. There in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 or 5, we find that Paul says, I've finished my course. He started his course in Acts. He finishes it in 2 Timothy. And he says, I have fought a good fight. He says, I have kept the faith. I heard a song this morning, Finish Right. First time I'd heard, I don't hear a lot, listen to a lot of music, but I heard that this morning on a radio station all the way halfway across the country. I thank God for the internet. You can pick out what you want to hear. And I was listening to that song, and it said, finish right. Oh, if we finish as a servant, we finish right. And we finish in a wonderful, with a wonderful message of the Lord. He fought a good fight. He kept the faith. He finished his course. And Paul says, for me to live is Christ. And then he says, for me to die is gain. You know, you and I, same thing. It ought to be, if we're a servant of the Lord, to live is for the life and the testimony and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we die, we have gain. We have heaven. We have life. We have eternity. We have all the glories that are given to us in the Scripture. You and I, this morning, we are saved to serve for that purpose. Too many times we have our own agendas. I'm guilty as anybody else. But our agendas ought to be to preach Christ. Our main purpose, our main task, ought to be proclaim the gospel. And there are ways to do that. There are good ways, and sometimes there's ways not as good. But we are to proclaim the gospel. as a servant of Jesus Christ. In our natural state, we were slaves to ourselves and slaves to sin. Before God saved us, we did what we wanted to do because that was our nature. The reason old pig gets out in the hog pen and wallers in the dirt and the mud and the muck and the mire is because that's his nature. You go clean him up, put a ribbon around his neck, you let him go, you know where he's going to go. He's going to go right back to the hog pen, right back where he was, and he's going to be just as dirty as he was before you cleaned him up. And when we try to clean ourselves up, you know what we do? We go right back, and we get just as dirty as we were before we showered off. That's our nature. Oh, but Jesus steps in. Who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And so when we meet Christ, it makes a difference, and we become a child of the King. In our natural state, we are slaves to our sin. We do what we want and desire to do. But in our spiritual state, we are made free to serve. I can serve the Lord this morning. I can honor the Lord this morning, or I don't have to. I have that freedom. We are free in the Lord Jesus Christ. If I serve the Lord, He blesses me. He honors His word. If I disobey, if I don't honor Him, then I suffer the consequences. Because the Lord, Paul tells us, again, one of Paul's writing, he said, the Lord deals with us as a father doth deal with his children. When we disobey, we have consequences of that. And so we find in our spiritual state, we are free to serve Him. No longer do we have to have the maliciousness around us. We are the servants of the living God. We need to realize that we will serve someone or something. We're going to serve. We're going to bow somewhere, one direction or another. We're going to serve God or we're going to serve the devil. You can't do both. You can't straddle the fence. You're going to fall one way or the other. That balance beam begins to shake and you're going to fall one way or the other. So we can serve Him, and we need to realize that we will serve God, someone, or something. Joshua 24, verse 15, and if it be seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. You're going to serve somebody. Joshua said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. For me and my house, we're going to serve Jehovah God. He said, so choose you this day whom you will serve. And so we need to realize that we will serve something or someone and that God would help us to serve Him and be a servant of Jesus Christ. Oh, that's my introduction, by the way. Ooh, I heard an amen. Good. All it takes is one amen. Body gets longer. These next three things are going to be real quick. Sometimes you have to lay the foundation so you can just say what you want to say and go home. Paul became a servant to his Lord. His conversion, we've talked about that in Acts chapter 9. The Bible says he was trembling and he astonished and said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? When you meet the God of heaven, by the way, that is Jesus Christ. When you meet the God of heaven, you're going to be put in your place. You're not going to be so proud anymore. Now, Paul was, he later tells us that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He tells us he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And that's not very good. Paul had everything inbred in him. Paul had everything taught to him by his family and by his parents. That he was better than anybody else because he was a Pharisee of all the Pharisees. He was greater than all of them. We know what a Pharisee is. Look down, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like him. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like so-and-so over there. That's a Pharisaical attitude that I'm glad I'm not like they are. I'm better than they are. And Paul says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. So Paul recognized and Paul understood that he had something working against him in his soul. His conversion came and now he tells us, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 1 says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by Jesus Christ, that you have received us how you ought to walk and to please God, so that you would abound more and more. 2 Peter 3:11, Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? In all conversation, that's lifestyle, that's not talking. In all conversation and godliness. Paul says, I'm committed to be the right kind of Christians. You know what the most detrimental thing in this world is to a people that's without God? Is to see a Christian not dedicated to the Lord. If I was to ask for a raise of hands this morning, how many of you have either said or heard it say, don't raise your hand. If that person's a Christian, I don't want any part of it. And the sorry thing about that is they're telling the truth. If that person, if that lady, if that man, if that teenager, whoever it is, if they are a Christian, and if that's what Christianity is, then I don't need that. Well, that's a terrible statement that's said about Christians. They ought to look at a Christian and say, that's what a Christian is. That's what I ought to be. We ought to make people, what the Bible says, to make them hunger and thirst after righteousness. You're not going to make somebody hunger and thirst after righteousness when we live like the devil, when we live like the world. Nobody's going to get hungry about that. They just follow us along and do the same old thing. Well, he's a Christian, she's a Christian. I guess if it's okay for them, I can do the same thing. I can go the same place. I can say the same thing. I can act the way they act because they're Christians. Only in word, not in deed. Is it James says, show me your faith by your what? Works. We're not saved by works, but we show our faith. We show our salvation by our works. Paul became a servant of the Lord. He had a conversion, and then he had a commitment. I'm going to serve God. Number two, not only was he a servant to the Lord, but he is a servant to the lost. All those around him. We did not read this far for sake of time, but look at verse number 15. Romans chapter 1. Or verse 14 and 15. Says, I'm a debtor. What made Paul feel like he's in debt? He owed somebody something. He felt that way because he had met the Lord. And now he says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel unto you there at Rome. Paul says, I'm ready. He was a servant to the lost. He was a servant to those that knew not the Savior. He had a debt to pay. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both the rich and the poor, the wise, the unwise, the godly, the ungodly. Paul says, I'm a debtor to all of them. Why? Because the Lord came to me. Because the Lord saved me and because the Lord saved Paul. And he saved you and I, so we are what? Debtors. We owe it to our family to tell them about Jesus Christ. If we don't tell them, nobody else may ever talk to them. Sometimes our families, only people that are saved are immediately us. And if we don't speak, if we don't say, if we don't do, nobody will. And if they live their life without hearing the gospel, they die without God. And we have not paid our debt. We have not shown the time, the love, the interest to at least tell them Jesus loves you. When troubles come, problems arise. We need to be examples because we are debtors. He had a desire. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all. That's Paul's words. He said, I'm free. Paul was a free-born Roman citizen. That meant he didn't have to worry about servitude. He didn't have to be worry about going under bondage. That meant the Roman law was pertaining to him, and he had freedom. So Paul says, I have freedom from all men, but I've made myself a servant unto all. What a great statement that is. He said, I'm free from sin, yet have I made myself servant unto all. And here's why. That I might gain the more. That I might have some people saved underneath. Thirdly and lastly, Paul was a servant to his brethren. You know, the greatest people in the world are people that we call brothers and sisters in Christ. I have a lot of friends. Some are not saved, some are. But the greatest friendship that you'll ever make, that is a lasting friendship on this side, I'm not talking about heaven now, I'm talking about here, the greatest friendships that you can ever make are those that we call brethren, that we call family, family of God. Someone wrote a song years ago, I'm so glad I'm in the family of God. Not a greater family in this world than the family of God. Birthed by the Holy Spirit, put in a family, in a family setting. Paul was a servant to his brethren. Paul says in Romans 15:1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. He forgave his brethren, 2 Corinthians 2:7, that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps some such a one should be swallowed up with much sorrow. Forgiveness. You know, that's another easy word that's hard to do. To say, I forgive you. To say, I just forget it. Paul says, I want to be a servant to my brethren. Now, we're in a family. Darlene's talking about a while ago, and I'm sorry, I'm going to use an illustration. Sometimes families get out of sorts with each other. But you know, we're still family. Sometimes children go way far away. And they don't serve like we would wish they would. But they're still children. And we're still parents. Sometimes brothers and sisters. Sometimes moms and dads. Sometimes distant cousins even go far away from God. But you know what? We're still family. Nothing can change that. I am a Richardson because of my dad and the blood that come through that line. My daughter is a Richardson married to a Wade, and she'll always be my daughter. She'll always, that bloodline is there. Oh, thank God this morning. I hope you know where I'm going. When I got saved, there's a bloodline. And it's because of what he did on Calvary. Amen. It's a bloodline. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And there are times family problems arise. But thank God we are brothers and sisters. We are children. We are together in the family of God. And there's no family on this side of God's heaven that's any different and as good as God's family. The Richardson family has its problems. I read some history. Woo-hoo. On my dad's side. Oh, there's some problems on my mom's side too. But you know what? We're still all family. And Paul says not that we need to be careful because we'll be, if we don't forgive, then we'll be swallowed up with much sorrow. He gave himself for his brethren. Paul loved his brethren. Let's see if I can find it. In Romans chapter 10, he's talking about brethren according to the flesh, the Jew now. Chapter 9, we'll look at it first. He says, I say a truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness of the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I would wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul says the Jew is far and away from God. He said, I would wish myself accursed. You know what that word accursed means? I don't have that grace in me yet. Paul said, I wish I could just die and go to hell if they would come to know Christ. That's what accursed means. He said, I'm burdened for my brethren according to the flesh. Look in chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Paul was a servant to his God. Paul was a servant to his Lord. He was a servant to the lost. He was a servant to his brethren. May God help us this morning that we'd put our ear against that post and we'd let God put a hole through our heart, that we'd be a servant, willing servant. I'm not in church this morning because I have to be. I'm in church because I want to be. I don't serve God on Monday, Tuesday, through Friday, Saturday because I have to. We serve Him because we want to. We are a willing servant of the Lord. What great words when Paul opens the book of Romans and says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Look it up. See how many times he calls himself a servant. For that was his attitude. Let's stand together this morning.